Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. In this week, we have an interview for you guys. So I interviewed Jeff Katz, the general manager of Gum Gum's sports division. Gum Gum is an artificial intelligence company that works in the sponsorship and advertising realm. And Jeff was a wealth of knowledge in terms of sponsorships in sports and how much money can be made in the future of using artificial intelligence to gauge the impact that sports advertising and sponsorship has. So you can find out a little bit more about Jeff and the company at gumgum.com/sports. And don't forget, if you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear more about in upcoming episodes, feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. And without further ado, I give you Jeff Katz. Jeff, my first question is, can you just tell us a little bit about what Gum Gum does and what exactly they do or your company does in the world of sports?
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you so much for having me on the show today. Really appreciate it. So Gum Gum is an artificial intelligence company, and we have deep expertise in computer vision. So essentially what that means is we teach computers how to see like humans do. So what do I mean by that? So we were founded in 2007, and we created a market segment called in-image advertising, and we work with many of the leading publishers in the world, like Time Inc., to essentially scan their images and their articles and monetize them. So we connect, we'll scan images for, let's say, Under Armour, might want to connect with a sporty female kind of demographic. They might look for pictures that are relevant to that and then connect Under Armour to those articles and deliver advertising. And that's a pretty sizable business, a pretty mature business that we run today. And then I came into the company to kind of take that core computer vision technology and apply it in new and interesting ways to solve pain points in other industries. And sports kind of popped right up to the top very quickly because in the sponsorship space, you know, you've got over $60 billion spent yearly on sports sponsorships. But pretty much across the board, the tools that were available at the time, most sponsors were not quite satisfied with the tools that they had available to them to do what's called these sponsorship valuations. You know, the turnaround times on them were not wonderful. And you know, with the shift to social media, just most of the value that happens for these sponsorships in terms of, you know, signage and things of that nature, a lot of it gets consumed on social media, and just a lot of that wasn't really captured. So that's kind of where Gum Gum Sports was born, is to take our computer vision and really look to solve those problems, you know, especially with the changing consumption, the nature of sports media consumption.
Yeah, Jeff, that's really interesting. And so the division of Gum Gum, so Gum Gum Sports started after the company was doing these advertising in-depth looks at like how to pair an Under Armour with a specific demographic. That's a much later thing, or did that happen relatively soon after the company started?
So the company, when it started in 2007, we actually pioneered that market segment and you know, have become the leader in that market segment called in-image advertising, and we've since expanded that solution. It's a much more holistic solution now and very mature, and we work with all the leading kind of agency holding companies globally on that. So that's been around since 2007, and then the sports business launched about a year to a year and a half ago.
Okay, so it is much newer. And then in terms of, it sounds so awesome, and listeners who might not be as in the know about what's going on in artificial intelligence space, can you describe how artificial intelligence is able to do this where, say, computer technology 10 years ago wouldn't be able to do what you guys are doing with finding where these brands are coming and how this sponsorship is actually being effective or not. Can you just explain how artificial intelligence is really the only way you can do this?
Absolutely. You know, I think what's so interesting is when the first thing that people think about when they think, you know, applying computer vision to sponsorship measurement is everyone says logo detection, right? And what we mean by that is using algorithms, computer vision algorithms, to essentially scan any piece of content, like any video or any image, to find a particular brand logo, right? Now, that you know, it may have existed a bit 10 years ago, but certainly the technology wasn't far along enough to be something that, you know, could scale and roll out across an entire industry. I think the technology is now, you know, coming into its own, it's maturing. But, you know, what's interesting, what we found is that logo detection is really just the beginning, and it's really just a small part of what we do. And I think that's what really sets us apart, is because in a TV world, you know who what team is playing who. You know the stadium, right? And therefore, you know that you can look for, say, Pepsi, and, you know, if you find Pepsi, it's one of the sponsors that you were supposed to find, and you're golden, right? But when you apply that to social media, where you have no idea, when you come across a post, you have no idea what it belongs to. You don't know if it's related to a sport. You don't know what team it's related to. Like, as a, you know, just someone, computer vision interacting with a social media post, there are all of these different logic that needs to happen before you can even say, you know, now go do your logo detection and look for Pepsi, right? So what Gum Gum Sports has kind of brought to the sports sponsorship space is sport detection. So we apply not just logo detection, but we apply sport detection algorithms to social media so that we can take the images and the videos and first determine what are the videos and the images that relate back to a particular live sport event. And that's what's really kind of the tough piece of the puzzle that we've been able to unlock.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. And moving on from, you're talking a lot about social media, are there specific social media platforms that do perform better in terms of sponsorship and making it sort of a really good value for these sponsors, in terms of, is it Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or maybe anything else that performs better, or one that performs maybe worse in terms of these sports sponsorships and return on investment for the advertisers?
Great question. So, I mean, first off, all of the different platforms are driving a ton of value for sports sponsorships. And there are two buckets that we consider when we talk about this value. One is what's called the team-owned or the league-owned properties. So, for example, let's say the New York Knicks, for example, we would look at the New York Knicks accounts, the ones that they own, as one bucket, and then we'd look at the long tail of social, just everything else. So when we look at that long tail of social, which is everything else, we're finding that 70 to 90% of the value that we find on social media is coming from outside of those official, you know, team accounts or league accounts. And that's something that is very new to the industry, and is really able to you know, it enables the rights holders, the teams, to demonstrate a lot more of the value that they're creating for brands. And it also, you know, for the brands, it really helps showcase all this value that they're getting that perhaps they didn't know about before. And to answer your question about, you know, which social media platform is perhaps outperforming another one, I'd say, you know, probably Instagram, I'd say, is leading the pack, and primarily, you know, one big contributing factor to it is the engagement levels just tend to be super high relative to the other platforms. So I think, you know, Instagram is certainly driving a lot of this value, but certainly the other platforms like Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter are certainly driving a lot of value as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting to think that you would think maybe, yeah, like an account like the New York Knicks Instagram account, there would be a lot of traffic driven to there, but that so much more of it, of the sponsorship, lives on in other users and just average users' posts. So I guess it is really cool to think that if you're paying to be a sponsor of one of these teams, that, hey, we have millions of other people basically just promoting the product themselves. That's really interesting. And then continue.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it is really interesting. You know, we mentioned the Knicks in that case. You know, when we think about the way that teams and leagues would sell sponsorships, right? One component of the sponsorship is the game signage, right? So you're playing a game or a match or whatnot, and there are LEDs, there are, you know, basket stanchions, there's, you know, signage, you know, behind the home plate. And traditionally, you sell these assets based on what is the TV media value, right? Now, when social media became a thing, the first reaction by the rights holders was, let's start selling social media posts. And totally makes sense to sell social media posts, like dedicated social media posts, create some branded content. Absolutely makes sense. But what we found is that it's actually that old traditional signage that is generating all of this value. So instead of selling traditional signage as traditional media, now rights holders are able to start looking at it as a true cross-channel opportunity, because you buy that game signage and the value, you basically follow, you know, the sponsor follows that content and follows that game across all the different screens. So when, you know, LeBron James makes his chase down block, you've got the TV media value, but then you've got the value from the thousands and thousands of, you know, pickups that moment gets across social media, of which, you know, the team account posting that, you know, clip is one piece.
Yeah, that is, it's really interesting, and I'm glad you brought up the NBA again. And it's interesting because this year is the first year that the NBA became the first big professional North American sports league to have a jersey patch sponsorship.
Right. Sure.
And so, I mean, I can see this being successful, but have you at Gum Gum seen this being successful for the, I think it's not the whole league. I think maybe only 20 of out of the 30 teams have an official patch sponsor on their jersey. I know you mentioned the Cavs, LeBron James, they're sponsored by Goodyear Tire, and then Golden State's Rakuten, who also sponsors FC Barcelona. Are these companies seeing a return on investment yet?
You know, my perspective on this, I think it's a great investment on behalf of these partners. You know, and there's also a question. I mean, some of these partners, the jersey element is the premier element of the sponsorship. Some of them, it's a part of a larger partnership as well. So, you know, I think it kind of depends on the nature of each specific arrangement. But at a very high level, I think, you know, what I said before about, you know, arena signage no longer being, you know, a traditional media buy, it truly is cross-channel. I think one of the best examples of that is this new, you know, jersey patch location, the sponsored jersey patch in the NBA. What we've found is that 81% of media value is coming from social compared to TV for this location. So, you know, our big kind of statement here is, you know, jersey patch, it's truly a social first asset. So when purchasing a jersey patch for a particular team, you can expect that most of the value is actually going to come from social media. And I know that brands more and more kind of want to reach people in that channel. So what a great way to reach these people through that channel. And a couple other interesting elements there. So we talked about the value that comes from the broader social versus just the team accounts. So 87% of the media value that we're finding is actually coming from the long tail accounts as it relates to this particular location. So I said before, in the NBA, 70 to 90% of the value comes from non-owned and operated accounts. For jersey patch in particular, you're talking 87%. It's pretty, you know, pretty off the wall. And the nature of those posts, for the general MBA, it tends to skew more highly on video. About 75% of the value comes from video versus 25% images. But for the jersey patch, it's actually 67% of the value is coming from images versus 33% from video. And, you know, our hypothesis there is basically, you know, you think about it. Every time you post an image related to a team, you tend to have a close-up of a player. And if the player is wearing a game jersey, you've got your value right there. Whereas if it was a basket stanchion or an LED, you're not as likely to get that value from that image. So we find that to be a really interesting kind of development.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And I know I was looking through the GumGum site, and they have an NBA-specific sort of scoreboard and what's working well and what isn't. I was wondering if you could talk to our listeners about, so Nike is the official jersey sponsor of the NBA now. They took over from Adidas starting this year. And can you talk about what performs better in terms of, is Nike far and away the best performer, or where does the real value come from? Is it all the jerseys, or does in-arena advertising still matter as well?
So it's a great question. I mean, certainly Nike is driving a ton of value out of that apparel sponsorship. So you know, certainly a very exciting opportunity for them. And then, you know, on the jersey patch side, also a very exciting opportunity for the teams to package that up. Now, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that that it is now, you know, the top opportunity. It very well might be the case in certain instances, but what I would say is that now the apparel and the jersey sponsorships, I'd say they are now a part of that, you know, portfolio of marquee assets that the team and or the league have to sell, alongside with, you know, say basket stanchion, basket LED, press table, you know, on court signage. It's certainly, you know, up there, right up there with some of those other marquee assets.
Okay, so it's just another thing that the NBA and the teams can offer as a big appeal to sponsors. That makes sense. In moving on to something that I know GumGum has covered as well, is the Champions League. The semifinals are going on right now. You have some major world-famous clubs. You have Real Madrid, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, and AS Roma all playing. And I know last year you guys dove into some of the numbers that the Real Madrid versus Juventus game created. And I just wanted to, just for our listeners to hear this, because some of the numbers were staggering. I was wondering if you could just describe the amount of money in sponsorships that was generated just during this Champions League final between Real Madrid and Juventus from last year.
Absolutely.
Because I thought it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the anomalies out there that's very much driven by the likes of Cristiano Ronaldo, who, you know, when he posts something, when he posts anything, you talk in terms of hundreds of millions of engagements versus, you know, let's say, you know, a really good social media post that features a sponsor. You're lucky if you have, say, you know, 200,000-300,000 engagements per post, and maybe, you know, maybe upwards of a million views per video, right? So, you know, a couple of the interesting takeaways from that game, that match last year, you know, the Real Madrid, the jersey sponsorship drove about $95 million of media value, sponsor media value, compared to just $8.3 million by Juventus. You know, a lot of that is due to, you know, not just Real Madrid having a larger kind of social media presence, but also, I mean, being the winner helps as well. You know, we see that all the time where, you know, the winner, whether it's in Formula One or in golf and the Masters, the winning team or individual gets a good bump as well from, you know, having a strong finish. You know, a couple other interesting stats from that game in particular. Cristiano actually drove 38% of the total media value himself, which, you know, for a player to be so dominant in terms of media value relative to the team he's playing on, the league he's at, or even the long tail of social is pretty unheard of. And then Real Madrid, their owned accounts drove about 25% of the overall sponsor media value. And then the sponsors who kind of dominated, I'd say, you know, you've got Adidas and Fly Emirates were really, you know, right there at the top in terms of media value that they were able to garner from that match. And from a location standpoint, the jersey sponsorship, you know, was a top performer, followed by the stadium LEDs also drove a significant amount of value.
Yeah, so Adidas comes out as a big winner there. And yeah, I have some of the statistics pulled up that, yeah, Real Madrid's Instagram account alone has almost 60 million followers. And then couple that with Cristiano Ronaldo's Instagram following, that's just, it's just to think that Adidas pretty much at all times is getting this secondary advertising from Cristiano and Real Madrid, especially when you consider that Cristiano himself is sponsored by Nike. So that's a good thing there for Adidas. And then moving on from that, because the MLS is growing in the States, and soccer has been a league that's had jersey sponsorships for a long time, and the club sponsors become synonymous with the team. The sponsors logo on soccer jerseys are bigger than the team logo, bigger than the jersey numbers. Do you see a future where American sports, besides Major League Soccer and now the NBA, go towards jersey sponsorships just because of what you're talking about, that all of these social media posts then going forward would have a company logo on with their favorite athletes from their favorite teams on their jerseys at all times?
Yeah, I mean, another great question. I mean, I think, you know, you look at the WNBA, which has done a lot with their jersey, you know, location as an asset. I think it depends, right? I mean, you've got a number of forces counterbalancing each other. You've got very traditional leagues who want to keep things very clean, and you know, there's some resistance there, but at the same time, you have market pressures that are at play that are making it much more of an option that might be considered. For example, you know, there's a question, you know, how much longer will TV rule the roost, right? You know, in terms of its ability to drive ratings, to support very large kind of media rights deals. You know, and as we see more and more of sports media rights are being sold direct to social as well, or in conjunction, you know, sold to social as well. So, you know, I think there's that element at play. And there's also the element of willingness to embrace social media. I mean, I think there are, across the board, leagues are taking measures to embrace social media more. And I think that as the various leagues kind of democratize their content, kind of like the way the NBA kind of really embraces people sharing their content, I think the more that happens, the more value that everyone's going to see coming from social, and I think the harder it's going to be to avoid opening up some element of the jersey to a sponsorship in a way that you know is done elegantly and will not disrupt kind of the viewing experience.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I can see where some of the pushback comes, where you don't want the Dallas Cowboys, the legacy of their jersey, to be ruined by any ad. But I mean, you have the Boston Celtics and the Lakers, two of the most historic U.S. franchises, having subtle little patches. So it can be done in a way that doesn't totally distract from the jerseys. So
I think it's also kind of the nature of sponsorships, right? I think that, you know, sponsorships are not about slapping logos on things, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, there are logos that end up being on things, but they have meaning, right? I think that the best kinds of sponsorships are authentic, where the sponsoring brand is truly adding value to what the rights holder does, right? Truly adding value to the team or to the league. And I think when you have that association, it's less about slapping a logo on something, and it's more about, you know, hey, this company is enabling us to, you know, to enjoy this experience and is adding value. And I think it has a different meaning than just, you know, buying an ad space.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's certainly relationships, especially when you look at the history of soccer with their advertisers there. Then you become a sponsor for a long time. Say Arsenal or some of these teams have had the same sponsors for over a decade. And then you
sure.
have, in the case of AS Roma, they notably do not have a sponsor on their jersey. They're one of like the only clubs in all of Europe that does not have a jersey sponsor. So Nike's going to be their only thing you see on their jerseys in the semifinals of the Champions League. But moving on, I kind of want to close out with, and this was something I had heard in a previous interview you did, about where the future of these sports sponsorships could go. I know you talked about the idea of this on-demand bidding. Can you explain a little bit about what that is and how artificial intelligence can help to achieve that?
Absolutely. I get really excited when we talk about things like this because, I mean, I see it as, you know, a real opportunity to create the future of, you know, buying and selling of sports media. You know, I think that if you look at TV, right, let's say LeBron James or Steph Curry does something amazing in a game, right? The change in TV ratings or the change in media value that could be attributed to a TV rating is not that much, right? Because, you know, let's say someone hears about it, okay, maybe some more people tune in, but the upside of a high potential moment, right, the upside of a moment like that on social media is so much greater. So, you know, we believe that the market is ripe for creating a real-time bidding exchange for sports signage. So when you have, let's call it a high potential moment, right? I'd say a high potential moment could be anything from, you know, Cavs are going to face off against the Warriors, or there's 2 minutes left in a quarter, or, you know, Kevin Durant is 2 points away from a triple-double, or 2 points away from, you know, getting more than 40 points, right? To me, those are high potential moments, and a high potential moment is defined as moments that could catch on virally, that could become, you know, a viral hit sensation on social media and drive more value for the sponsoring brand. So, you know, I think that there's the element of being able to, you know, essentially price discriminate for these high potential moments and create, you know, say a private marketplace for bidding on this inventory. You know, bidding on that basket LED, bidding on the press table, and, you know, of course the rights holders would give first look to their you know, their key partners. But at a certain point, what if they were able to open it up more broadly and enable, you know, huge global brands to bid across continents, bid across leagues, bid across teams, and while they're doing it, because it's informed by all of this very, you know, interesting logic, they could really, you know, get interesting about it and create custom creative, you know, instead of just having a generic logo on a sign. They could say, you know, great job, Kevin Durant, you know, for passing 40,000 points or 30,000 points if he's about to, you know, beat a milestone, and just get more custom and more integrated into the experience.
Yeah, that makes.
I'd say, Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense in terms of, I know that obviously you already have on social media, places like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where you have that real time, if an athlete passes said milestone, it is whatever company or the team posting it right away. It's interesting to think about it going forward that you would have in arena sponsors doing that in real time. It's just, it's really crazy to think about that. And then sort of wrapping up, my last couple of questions are revolving around the future of live sports. So most of us know that the NFL ratings have been down the last couple seasons. The NBA's actually seen a little bit of a boost, which I think speaks in terms of, I don't know, whatever you want to say. But it seems like we're going towards a live streaming future where you have Amazon doing some football NFL games last year. You have YouTube TV getting some rights to broadcast already linear television broadcasts. And then Hulu. So how do you see the advertising in sports changing at all? Or will it all remain the same when it goes to pretty much, I would say, in the next 10 years, it's going to be, you're going to be able to stream all of the live sports you want, no matter where it is, whether Facebook or Amazon or YouTube TV or something we haven't even heard about yet.
Sure. I mean, you know, one theme that kind of pops in my mind when you talk about that is, you know, you mentioned at least two of the platforms you mentioned being, you know, Amazon and did you say Netflix or you know, certainly, you know, any of the platforms that don't have the traditional, like, you know, TV commercial monetization. You know, I think it's very disruptive for an industry that for so long has relied on, you know, TV commercial spot costs, you know, how much can they make from the TV commercial in order to pay for and make money from media rights. So I think that what we'll see is that the value of being integrated into the content itself, I think becomes a lot more of a draw, more so than it had been, so that you kind of insulate yourself from the distribution channel, right? So, you know, you insulate yourself from ad skipping. You insulate yourself from not being able to you know, the TV spot, the TV commercial. You watch the TV commercial during the live broadcast, but then it's gone, you know, with the exception of the Super Bowl. So I think it certainly will create pretty significant ripples in the market.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been saying on this show for a long time that live sports is going to continue to be a big money maker and something that sponsors and advertisers want to attach themselves to, because it is really the last thing that anyone needs to watch live besides maybe the news,
right,
which is already a dying breed on the nightly news. So it's all really interesting. So I want to thank you again so much for coming on, Jeff. It's been really fun to talk to you about the intersection of sports and business, and specifically sports sponsorships, and what GumGum insights we can find out about just how much value sponsors are getting from their partnerships of big time sports.
Great. Well, Ben, thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to going beyond the broadcast with our customers. That's kind of our thing. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. Take care.